Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Breakfast Ball. I'm Ben Charlson, joined by Ryan Hannibal as always. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. We got our first week of real PGA Tour action last week, and it did not disappoint in my opinion.
No, I'm the same way with you. I thought, you know, like we said last week, it was a stacked field with a number of the top players in the world, and a lot of those guys were in contention throughout the week. And, you know, Sunday afternoon it came down to Daniel Berger and Colin Morikawa, not two of the bigger names. You know, they're up there, but not the big stars. But the stars were still there. I think the ratings were really good. You know, this isn't a tournament that most people, you know, watch on a yearly basis, but that changed this year. And, you know, I think everything went pretty much as well as it could have. I mean, there were no positive cases. There were no issues with the protocols. There were no, you know, the TV stuff went off, you know, as planned. And, you know, I thought it was, you know, obviously it would be better with fans there, but the tour and TBS did a great job making it, you know, happen. And the players, you know, the top players of the world competed and put on, you know, what they usually do.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, they're, yeah, obviously with fans, it makes it different and it would have been more enjoyable with fans. But yeah, like you said, it was a very good tournament. And yes, even like the lack of cameras that CBS had, they still did a good job of getting the correct angles and getting all that stuff. So they did a good job. And I figure each tournament they're going to learn from and make changes right to improve it, and which will be good. So I have no complaints from it. And play wise, it was great. Each day you had what, like 10 guys within one stroke or two strokes of the lead.
Oh yeah. More than that, even on Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. And you had not all the big names at the top of the leaderboard, but at some point it seemed like you had, you know, McIlroy was up there, DeChambeau, Spieth. You had these guys who were well-known guys competing and going for the title. And a guy like Berger, I kind of forgot, a few years ago he was one of those up-and-coming young guys, and then he had two years of just wrist injuries that really hurt him. But he was one of those, like, kind of Shoffley, when Shoffley was coming up, Rahm. He was in that same field as those guys. And it is good to see him, someone like that, recover from an injury and get back to his winning ways. And I know before the season was on pause, he had, I think, like three top 10s in a row or three top 20s in a row. So he was playing well. And it's good to see someone who was playing that well get a win right back when we return.
Yeah, that was, you know, and the way that he won too was, you know, in good fashion. You know, the missed putts at the end with Shoffley's lip out, you know, on 17 in regulation, and then Morikawa's in the playoff. You know, those were, you know, big moments, and I think that the sport, I mean, I obviously you feel for the players missing those putts, but those are, you know, good moments for the sport. I wonder how much different they would have been with fans there and what the reaction would have been like. But I don't know. How did you feel about just watching Sunday afternoon without fans there? Did you notice it at all? Did you think about it at all? Because if I'm being honest, I didn't really notice it much at all. I mean, I knew in the back of my mind they weren't there, but it didn't really impact my viewing experience.
Yeah, I didn't. It didn't really, I guess, bother me, or I didn't really notice it. I was thinking kind of, like we talked about last week, going into the tournament, would guys be a little bit more relaxed on Sunday? Would they not be as affected because there aren't fans there? But to be honest, I think the Sunday final round, even though there are no fans, some of the guys still felt the pressure. You could see
sure.
some poor tee shots, obviously, with those two lip outs by those guys. Maybe it was a little bit of rust, but I think that because they had played well all week where they weren't messing up things like that. So I think there was a little bit of that Sunday pressure got to them. Even though there weren't fans there, they did still feel a little bit of that pressure. And you could see it on some of their shots and obviously those two putts, which were huge for both those guys.
The only thing without fans, I think, impacted things were, like, there are some shots that would have normally hit grandstands, like behind greens, that actually rolled out, you know, past cart pass or whatever. So you saw some shots that you wouldn't see otherwise, which I think is good in a way because it's more like a real – you're playing the game as it should be and not just hitting – like we talked about last week, I think. Like, guys would, you know, take advantage of having grandstands behind greens where you could sort of be more aggressive and going over the green because you know you'd have a backstop, and now – you know, you don't have that luxury. So I think that this could actually, you probably see, I think somebody did the math that like the, with the average score on the first day, I think was like a tenth of a stroke higher than last year, just without fans and just because of things like that. So I guess maybe it made it for more of a true test in a way, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too with the grandstands and that stuff. That's more, it's more of a help for these players in most cases. Yeah. And even when there are fans there, like if they hit a wayward tee shot, you might be getting a better lie because the grass has been stamped down. You're not getting all these deep roughs. So to be honest, for the players, I'm guessing for them, the fans are a little bit helpful. Yes, they can be hindrance also, but there are times where you hit a tee shot way right and you're in some deep rough now. Like back then with fans there, it might just be, the grass might just be stamped down at that point, or yeah, you have the, right. The backboard at a hole, so you can be a little bit more aggressive. You can go for it, and you know you're going to get a free drop, or it's going to bounce back. So it will be a little bit, I think, of a challenge for them to kind of get used to that, not having these helps a little bit. But they're pros, so I think they'll figure it out, and it'll be a little bit more understanding with them. Like, hey, like, all right, I can't be as aggressive. I can't fly this green if I hit a perfect shot here. I do need to land on the green or stuff like that because there won't be that break. But yeah, other than that, throughout the whole weekend, I didn't really feel or miss the fans, I guess. I didn't notice it. I know a couple of players talked about it. It was definitely a little different. Like Schauffele talked about it. He definitely noticed it out there with no fans, but he played great. So it obviously didn't affect him.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a little strange, like, if they make a long putt, like Schauffele's long putt on Sunday, there was just no reaction. So that's a little bit different. And then probably just, like, you know, maybe it's sort of like an eerie feeling in a way on the first tee where, like, nobody's around. And I don't know, maybe for some guys it could be more pressure just because, like, you feel like nobody's watching. But in reality, you know that everybody's watching on TV. So maybe there's more nerves there. Did you listen to watch Thursday with Fowler mic'd up at all?
I saw a little bit here and there of it. I don't know. Like it was fine. I don't know. Like the whole mic'd up thing. I know they have like Harmon's gonna do it soon.
Hadwin. Yeah.
Hadwin. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Adam Hadwin. Like that'll be fine. But I don't know. Just in the middle of a tournament, it's not the same as like what they're expecting from like the Tiger match or the. Drive for relief, like where they're actually talking. These guys are in the middle of a round, and they know they're mic'd up.
Sometimes, but like we talked about last week, like the back and forth with the caddies, that gets picked up on the microphones anyway. So it's kind of like you don't really need it. I don't. After having Fowler and watching some of that, I don't think it was needed. Like I just don't. I mean, it's better for the charity things where they're more relaxed. Like you said, they can, you know. I just don't think it was necessary. I understand they wanted to try to something new and get people into it, but with the how good the microphones are these days and picking things up, I don't think you need to have a player mic'd up.
Yeah, and they have like those boom mics on every, or at least the feature group. So yeah, like they're picking up what they're talking about. So I think having that is better than someone being mic'd up where they know they're mic'd up. And I get it. They like with the mics around them, they know they're around, but they're obviously. I feel like they're not as guarded with them.
Right.
Because it's
right.
Not on them. When you have the mic on you and you know it's there and can feel it, yeah, they're going to talk, but it's not going to be any of this deep talk or anything like really interesting. It'll be what you hear on those boom mics anyways.
Right. Like, I think, because I heard before the tournament started, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas didn't like, or they weren't in favor of being mic'd up themselves, and followers in their group. And so I bet they kind of watched what they said throughout that round to him, just because they knew that he was mic'd and what they said he could potentially get picked up too. So I don't know. It was, you know, they got to try some things, and maybe this is one where they just realized, like, what we have is already pretty good, and we'll just, you know, continue what we're doing with having the mics pick up stuff on the course.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad idea. You have to try it, so that's fine. And maybe certain players will be a little bit more open, or maybe like later in the tournament, if our guys are on Sunday, Saturday, or Sunday, and are a little bit more out of the race, they might be a little bit more open. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe just they don't need to, I guess, advertise it as much. Like, hey, this guy's gonna be mic'd up. Maybe just kind of throughout the tournament, throw stuff in. They're like, oh, like we had whoever mic'd up, and here's a little bit of audio. And then they had that confessional or whatever it was.
You want to call it. Yeah,
I saw that on Sunday, and it wasn't anything. It was just them being like, hey, like, thanks. Right. Like, I want to say hi to my mom. Like, it was
right.
It's not like kind of getting information from them. They're not like going in depth or anything. It's just like a 1 second or one sentence little clip from them.
Yeah, same thing. A good thing to try. It didn't like take away from the event, but I don't think it was necessarily needed. It wasn't like, oh, this was awesome. Like, you got to hear these guys talk. Like, I don't know. One of those things that maybe they could tweak it a little bit and make it more entertaining, but I wouldn't like say like they need to have this at every, you know, tournament moving forward.
Yeah, when I was watching on Sunday, I felt like it was like a hostage cam. Like,
right.
They were forced to stop there, and they're like given like a cue card. And it's like, all right, read this. Like, here we go. So right. Yeah, it was interesting. I mean,
I give them credit for trying these things. I mean, they have to at this point with, you know, trying to find different ways to make it more entertaining and getting, you know, attracting more fans than just the avid golf fan. So I appreciate CBS doing these things, and maybe, like you said, they'll learn from past events and make it better, you know, moving forward, because CBS has all these tournaments moving forward. So I'm sure that they'll find ways to make things different. I don't know. I found it a little bit odd in a way, like, so all the analysts besides Nance and a few of the on-course reporters were in Orlando. And so like, they're giving, like, I noticed that they gave like misreads on Sunday, like the last couple,
yeah,
on the last couple greens. Like, so maybe that's something that, like, try not to give, like, actual, say this putt's gonna break left when you don't know it's gonna break left.
Yes, yeah, so that was a little weird that they have the guys, yeah, not that are in studio, not on course. And I get it, that's what they do, like, that's what they're right. Used to doing, so they're always trying to do it. But yeah, like be maybe a little bit less about what you think the green's going to do or the course, and more about the player's swing or stuff like, yeah, that. Right. Focus on right. that, where you can right. actually talk about it compared to trying to on a TV, which, you know, no one can read on a TV what the green's going right. to do or what the speed is. Just focus more, I guess, on the player and not as much on the green, which, yeah, I think that's going to be for them too. It's going to be a learning experience, like trying to figure out what worked for them. Commentating from a studio and not on course, which they're so used to doing.
Yeah, and then we keep saying it's going to get better and better, and I'd be interesting to see what, you know, what they do this week, what they do in the coming weeks. I'm sure they'll go all out more for the majors when, you know, more attention is on these tournaments. So I think that getting these tournaments, sort of like the players, you know, playing more, same thing for the TV, getting these tournaments in to see what works, what doesn't work, to make it, to have the best product come out in, you know, August and September when they have the majors and all the bigger tournaments.
Yeah, I know we're nitpicking here, but it was for the first tournament, it was smooth, good, great play from the players and a great tournament going into playoff for the first tournament back in 3 months. So yeah, like, little things that obviously CBS will work on fixing, but for a golf fan, it was a great return for us. At the Charles Schwab, and a big one for Daniel Berger. But now let's go to the RBC Heritage, which is in is it Hilton Head this week?
Hilton Head. I've actually played the course.
Really?
Yeah. So I went there. I've been there twice, and I've played Harbortown once, and then they have a couple, two other courses on property. I've played there a couple times. It's one of my favorite spots, like, in the world. Like, it's just a relaxed environment. You're right on the beach, kind of. There's a lot of like restaurants and shops, just a relaxed place. Like, it's, and I think the players like it too, because it's like inside this big complex. It's a fenced-in community, and so there's a million houses that the players stay in, so they don't have to really leave property. Like I heard Matthew Fitzpatrick on Foreplay yesterday saying his house is on the third tee. So it's very convenient for the players, and it's always one of the best courses on tour, in great shape, and it's not a long course, but it'll require a lot of shot shaping, keeping the ball in the fairway. So I think this is a week where the big hitters aren't really getting much of an advantage because you're not hitting driver in a lot of holes.
Yeah, and I think you can kind of tell that it is I know it's the second tournament back, so you're going to get a lot of people there anyways. But you do have another star-studded field, not as big as the Charles Schwab, but a lot of players there. And yeah, like you said, listening to players and like just looking at social media, it seems like these guys really enjoy going to Hilton Head and this course with what the amenities have. So it will be interesting to see these guys this week. And yeah, it's another course similar to Colonial. It's not a long course. It's
right.
But it will challenge these players and force them to, like you said, hit the fairway and hit good shots. And it should be another probably mid-teens, low-teens.
Yep.
The winner will have to pull something like that out. So it'll be, again, another good tournament, good start where players will be able to put up scores and hopefully on Sunday it'll be a very tight race again.
What do you think of Bryson DeChambeau and his new look and new game?
I was a little surprised by how big he was, but yep. I don't know. I'm just not a Bryson fan. I don't know what it is. I think it's maybe just like how everything he does is so calculated and
right.
Everything, like the one length club and like, it's 2 degrees hotter today. So I know this and that. And yeah, now he's this basically long drive hitter, and yeah, I'll give it to him. Yeah. He absolutely mashes that off the tee now. It was insane. I think they were showing like he had like the 20 longest drives of like the tournament right. Or something. It was like insane how far he was hitting it. But I don't know. I'm just not a DeChambeau fan.
I'm like you. I've tried to like him, but then he just does things like I can't like this guy. Like the social media video that he put out on Thursday. What was it? Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, just like 10 minutes of.
Yeah.
No talking, just like can't. It's like,
ugh. Right. Like, I know, I get it. He's like, we're trying to make content these days, but that just didn't hit. And I know you swing and miss sometimes, but like, you just try to like him and he just does something that's like, I just can't like this guy. And yeah, he worked his ass off. I'm giving him credit. But I mean, I don't know. Some of these courses, like, you don't need distance. Like, for instance, this week, like, you don't need a 360 yard drive. Like, it's just not going to do you any good. So, like, yes, it helps in certain courses, but. I don't know. Sometimes I don't see the payoff here. Like, I think he could have done other things to help his game.
Yeah. Even like last weekend. Yes. I think he finished one shot back and he made a nice run on Sunday, but I think like, it felt like every time I was watching him hit, he was hitting out of the rough. Like,
I was going to say, it's a big adjustment period too, to figure everything out. Like, how to play, like it's a new style.
Yeah. And maybe for him, he figures, if I hit the fairway 25% of the time or whatever, and I'm only 60 yards away and I'm guaranteed to eagle or birdie those holes, it makes up for, hitting so many wayward shots off the tee that he knows he'll only par or bogey. So maybe I'm guessing he probably has that calculated out where, yeah, maybe he isn't as accurate hitting the fairways, but he figured out that the extra distance gives him this better scoring, I'm guessing. I'm guessing he put a lot of thought into
it. I was just saying, I'm sure it was all calculated. I'm sure he did a number of calculations and figured, saying this is, the best way to win out here. And so I give him credit for that, but I just – we'll see how things, play out as the summer goes, see if it actually, was worth it.
Yeah.
Yep, go ahead.
No, go, you too.
I was going to say, I found one note doing the preview for this week that the last four winners of the RBC Heritage were first-time winners on the PGA Tour. So this could be a week where some guy that you might not have heard of comes out on top. This is sort of a course that anybody can win. So I think maybe this is a week that not – like just because the top players are playing doesn't guarantee that they're going to win.
Yeah, which I like. I would be very happy to see – kind of an up-and-coming guy or a guy who's been on tour for a while and then pull out a win. That's what's great about a lot of these tournaments, because usually when you're playing the RBC Heritage, Charles Schwab, it really isn't like the big-name guys. You'll get a couple of them, but
like this is usually the week after the Masters, and obviously not a lot of players are playing in it just because of what happened last week. So this does help the young up-and-coming players and the older guys looking for their first win. So sure to be close. I mean, you'll see a bigger leaderboard on Sunday than you would normally, but I still think this is a course where unknown could come out on top.
Oh, definitely. And that's what's great about this. I think these couple weeks you will be able to see. And you saw it last week too. There was a couple, you know, like Kokrak and a couple of those guys who have a couple wins on tour, but kind of no name guys make runs late on Sunday. So yeah, like you said, these type of courses, it's not one of those courses where you have to be a DeChambeau and just overpower the course. It is a course that you don't have to be a big hitter to play. It is more of a, you know, you got to be well-rounded everywhere, hit the fairway, hit the greens, make putts and stuff like that. So it would be awesome to see a kind of a up-and-coming, no-name guy maybe get a win here. But I also on Sunday want to see, you know, Shoffley, McIlroy, Spieth, Rose, those guys on the leaderboard or at least close and giving a push to make that Sunday and even Saturday more interesting.
My pick for this week, Brant Snedeker. Sort of not – he's won on tour, but – he hasn't really, you know, I think he was better, I would say, 5 or 6 years ago. But he has a lot of success at Harbortown. I think, let's see here. He only has one missed cut since 2012 at the event. He's played in every year. And he has 3 top 25s. I just think with him being a good putter, I like Snedeker this week. Sort of a long shot, but, you know, I think that's what happens with this course.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick. And like Snedeker, he's been up and down. I think he had dealt with some injuries a few years ago, so he's kind of figuring it out. But yeah, if his putter's working, he's one of those guys who could make a push and make a run. I think he's 90-1, so might as well throw some money on him. I'm interested to see Colin Morikawa see how he bounces back, because he hasn't missed a cut in his career yet. He's like, 22 of 22 or 21 of 21, something like that, and kind of seeing how he bounces back this week, because he's a great iron striker. He's not long off the tee, but his irons are great, and this, I think this is one of those courses where you put in the fairway and you rely on your irons. When you strike the ball like him, he should have a good week, tournament this week. But I am interested to see how that playoff loss affects him going into this tournament, but he's one of those guys I'm looking at maybe bouncing back after a tough loss and pulling out another win, and I think it'll be his second win on tour.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I saw a stat like in the last year, he's number one in tee to green in the entire tour, but like 100 and something in putting. So if he can figure out his putter, he's going to be right up there. And I think that's something to note moving forward. Like if he can figure out his putter moving forward, he could be up there with the McIlroys, the Dustin Johnsons, the Brooks Koepkes is one of the best players on tour.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting this weekend with because you do have a lot of the big hitters. You know, you got Johnson, Koepka, Woodland, DeChambeau there. How those type of guys play? Yeah, they're top guys in the rankings, but with a course like this, what they're able to do and if they're able to challenge for the leaderboard. So again, second tournament back, be very interesting. You know, I'm interested to see what CBS does with their coverage. If they'll change anything, add anything to it, maybe get rid of some stuff. And interesting to see the play from these guys. Second week back, have they wiped all that rust off? It didn't look like there was a ton of rust on them last week. Will they be a little bit more, cutthroat this week? I wouldn't say last week they weren't, but I don't know. With the no fans, will they be a little bit more used to that?
Just everything. They're probably more used to the getting to the course, you know, different setup with the course, you know, not being able to use the locker rooms like they normally would, like, more comfortable. And I think that could lead to some better play maybe.
Yeah. Yes. That's yes. Getting used to the new normal for them and all that stuff. So yeah, I think their routine now, they're going to have another week under where they have it figured out of what they're going to do and have everything planned out. So I'm excited. Last week, obviously playoff, it was great tournament. So I'm excited to see what happens this week. Got anything else, Ryan?
No, just got the Travelers in the week after. So, I mean, too bad that fans weren't allowed, because that'd be some, you know, local viewing. Media is not even allowed. I actually tried to put in for a credential, but everything's through the PGA Tour, and they're not, they're only allowing, like, the, you know, the Golf Channel, ESPN, like the real, you know, golf people on site.
The big names.
Yes.
Well, maybe after a few more weeks of your preview articles, we'll be able to get through.
Maybe I can make the cut. We'll see.
Yeah. All right, Ryan. We'll be back next week for the Travelers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.